Praise God. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of John. Yeah. The book of John, chapter 3. I've never preached out of John, chapter 3. I'm excited tonight. It's going to be awesome. John is the fourth of what's called Gospels. Gospel means good news. And so the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the four accounts of Jesus' life when he lived on earth, his death, and his resurrection. Okay? So the book of John is the fourth account, and we're going to go to the third chapter. Amen? Amen? Amen. This is what it says. I'm reading from the New Century Version, so if it's not quite the same as I usually read, that's why. All right, this is what it says. There was a man named Nicodemus, who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader. One night, say one night. Say one night. Go on, encourage the preacher. One night, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher sent from God because no one can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot be in God's kingdom." Nicodemus said, "But if a person is already old, how can he be born again? He cannot enter his mother's womb again, so how can a person be born a second time?" That's a good question. But Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born first of water and then the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Human life comes from human parents, but spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you that you must be born again." Verse 9, Nicodemus asked, "How can this happen?" Jesus said, "You are an important teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth, we talk about what we know and we tell you about what we have seen. But you don't accept what we tell you. I've told you things here on earth and you don't believe me, so how will you believe me if I tell you things of heaven?" Verse 13, "The only one who has ever gone up to heaven is the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must also be lifted up, so that everyone who believes can have eternal life in him." James read this scripture earlier, John 3:16. "God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. People who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty, but those who do not believe have already been judged guilty because they did not believe in God's one and only Son. They are judged by this fact." Say this fact. "The light has come into the world, and they did not want light." The light came into the world, they did not want light. They wanted darkness because the things that they were doing were evil. "All who do evil hate the light and will not come to the light because it will show the evil things that they do." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, tonight we honor you. You're the guests of honor. We love you, Lord. God, tonight I'm asking that you would move on our hearts and on this ministry, God. Tonight we want your kingdom to come here. We want your will to be done in us and through us. God, tonight I'm praying for a move of your Spirit. God, we're asking you to show up here in a way that's tangible, God, that everyone could understand and know and comprehend how awesome and how real you are. God, encourage us tonight by your word. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject, the nightlife. The nightlife. When I was a preteen, I was like 10 to 12 years old, I used to sneak out of my parents' house at night. And I grew up in the country, so sneaking out of the house really wasn't anything, you know what I mean? It was like you just did something you did. And I know my parents now, I know they totally knew every time I did it, and sometimes I have a friend over and the friend would sneak out, and it's embarrassing, but every guy here knows, you know, when you're a kid, you just want to be like the special ops or the ninja or something like that. Right. Pirates are better than ninjas, though, right? Amen. Come on, right? Come on, where are my pirates at? That's right. Praise God. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. It's totally a geek thing. It's great. All right. So, you know, we would get on all of our black clothes, and we put on our stocking hats, and we would go stealth out through the woods, you know? And you couldn't really do anything, because growing up in the country, you just know that every old person that lives around there's got a shotgun by the door, so you're not going to get yourself up in any mischief, because grandma's knickknacks aren't worth getting shot over, okay? But, you know, there's just something, like, about that rush of you know, just being a preteen and sneaking out of the house. And, you know, we would go up through the woods. And most of the time we'd come home because we got so scared of being out in the dark anyway. So I have myself a little nightlife. So the guy in our story, Nicodemus, he wasn't a young guy. He wasn't a preteen. In fact, he was probably 40 or 50. And he was a very important guy. He was a member of the Jewish council called the Sanhedrin. He was one of 70 men. They were all male that were part of this ruling group. And Nicodemus, he had a nightlife. He was an important, wealthy man by day, but by night he was something a little bit different. He had a nightlife. And so he comes to Jesus in this famous passage, and if without a Nicodemus, we don't have a John 3:16. So he's kind of an important character in the Bible. And he comes to Jesus, and the first thing he does is he comes to Jesus and says, "You are a teacher sent from God." And he tells Jesus all about him, like Jesus is going to be impressed, right? And he comes, I can just see it. Can you see it, Nicodemus just rolling on up to Jesus in the middle of the night? And Jesus being like, "Wow, I'm so glad you came so boldly," because he's telling you, "This is who you are. I know this to be so." But Nicodemus wasn't in the middle of the day. It was in the middle of the night. He came to Jesus in his nightlife. He was scared of what his peers would say about him. He was scared of losing his position, losing his prestige, losing his place in the school. He had a nightlife. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't even engage Nicodemus in this little, you know, this little, "Hey, let me puff you up and give you some pride and tell you how great you are." Jesus just goes right to the point. And Nicodemus might have known what he was there for that night, or he might not have. We don't know. But Jesus knew. And he looks at Nicodemus and he says two things. You need a new life, a new heart, and you need to be a part of a new kingdom. And I can just see Nicodemus thinking, what does that have to do with what I just said? I just told you were great and all this stuff. And Jesus just takes him down a totally different road. And so Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and he's telling him, you know, that you need a new life. You need to be born again, and you need to be a part of this new kingdom. And this new kingdom was an idea that might be new to some of us here, but it wasn't new to Nicodemus, because the Jewish people, they believed in a new kingdom. That what used to happen in the Garden of Eden, this utopia, this place of perfection where there's no sin and no pain and all those things, that again was going to come to earth. And so Jesus goes to Nicodemus and he says, you need a new heart and you need a new life if you want to enter into this kingdom. And Nicodemus is a little bit confused and probably got taken off his guard by what some of the things that Jesus had to say. But what about this nightlife thing? You know, when I was a kid, it seemed innocent, but you know, I had a nightlife later in life. You know what I'm talking about? I started thinking about, as the Lord was ministering this message to me, I started thinking about, you know, there's not many things of consequence that I've done really bad in my life that have happened out in the open, have happened in the middle of the day. You know what I'm talking about? There's something about the night, isn't there? And it's not just the night as in when the sun goes down, but how many of you guys know that the nightlife is what happens behind closed doors? The nightlife is what happens when the sun goes down and now things are not in view. The nightlife is what happens when you're talking behind somebody else's back. What about your nightlife? See, Nicodemus had a nightlife, and it wasn't even this life of any kind of amazing sin. He just was living in fear of his peers. He had a nightlife. What about all the things that happen behind the walls of your heart that nobody really sees? What about all the things that happen behind the nightlife of your mind? Your parents don't know who you really are. Your teachers don't know who you really are. Maybe even your friends don't know who you really are. But you're sitting here tonight and you know who you really are. You know what the nightlife is about. You know what you're really like when nobody's looking. Interesting. That's what Nicodemus' nightlife was about. What about the nightlife? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about this, and he started talking about this light. He says, "People who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty, but those who do not believe are already judged guilty." And he says, "They are judged by this fact, that the light has come into the world, and they did not want light. They wanted darkness because the things that they were doing were evil. I remember a time in my life where there was a lot of night and there was a lot of darkness, and I remember not wanting that light to shine on me because it was just like, it was like the cop's light, you know what I mean? You're busted. When you're in the light, you're just busted. And the Lord was telling me tonight that there's people here and you're living in the nightlife. And people think that you're some way, but you're not. And you know, because every time God starts getting close to your heart, you start feeling a little bit, you know, just get a little bit too close. And anytime you have good friends that call you and invite you to things or invite you into their life, you know that you have to keep them just a little bit farther away than you would like, because you know that if they come too close, they get into your nightlife. Nicodemus had a great life in the daytime, but at night, he was a different person. And the Lord said, there's one group of people here tonight, and you're the people that have a nightlife. And he said, there's another group of people here tonight. He quoted the scripture out of the Old Testament. It's out of Numbers chapter 21, and we'll go there in just a second. And he said that just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the Lord started speaking this to me. I want you to turn with me to the book of Numbers. It's in the beginning part of the Bible. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. It's getting quiet in here. Praise the Lord. Numbers 21, verse 4. This is talking about the people of Israel. They're in the desert. It says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned and we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked at the bronze serpent, they would live. Some people here are poisoned. And it's amazing what poison did. I was doing a little bit of research, and I was figuring out what is snake poison? What does it do? And do you know that some of the most poisonous snakes in the world, when they bite you, like the king cobra or the brown king snake and the black mamba, these incredibly deadly vipers, when they bite people, people will hallucinate. And they lose their ability to feel. They go numb. And the Lord started speaking to me that there's not only a person here or people here that are living the nightlife. And what I mean by the nightlife is even as I speak, you feel conviction. You're ashamed of your sin. The Lord's dealing with your sin. You're living in the nightlife, and the reason you're in the nightlife is because you know that what you're doing is wrong. But there's another group of people, and you're snake bit. You're snake bit. That venom of this world and of Satan is going through your veins. And what happens is when you get bit by this snake, you start to hallucinate and believe that the way that you're living is the way to have a fulfilled life. You're having a hallucination about what life is about. Your motto is get all I can, as long as I can, from everyone I can, no matter what. You're living for yourself and things are okay. You're just groovy with it. And the book of Romans gives a list of these sins. And it says jealousy and disobeying parents and anger and rage and lust. And it just gives a whole list of these sins. And when I look back at a time in my life, those things were the things I lived for. And the reason was is because I was snake bit. And so you're here tonight and you don't feel convicted about your sin because you love your sin. Your sin, that venom that goes through your body day in and day out, is what you live for. And I'm here to tell you right now that it's a lie. You are poisoned. that poison that's giving you the hallucination that your life is to be all about you, and it's all about you and not about your friends, and it's not about God and heaven and all this stuff, it's about you, it's a hallucination. And the other thing that snake poison does to you is it causes you to go numb. It causes paralysis. And so what happens is the longer that poison feeds you and the longer you live for yourself, what happens is you stop feeling the conviction of God. So you're sitting here tonight and I'm asking God that He would just give you a little glimpse of what the truth is about your poison. The truth is that this poison that causes hallucination, this poison that causes paralysis, it leads to death. You might be having a good time now, and that poison might be going through your veins, and you're thinking it's all good because you just got a peace last night or whatever it is. And you think that this is what life is about, and I'm telling you, you're going to die from that poison. That poison that's causing you to be numb, that poison that's causing you to live for yourself, it will kill you. That's what it's there for. It's injected on purpose into you and into this world, and it's there to destroy you. The devil's not out to give you a real experience. He wants you to hallucinate. There's nothing real in a hallucination. Drug addicts call it chasing the dragon. Guess how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Some people don't want to raise their hand. Chasing the dragon, you get the first high and you spend the rest of your addicted life trying to get back to that place. But what people don't understand is in the end, you will find the dragon and you're not going to like what you find. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn you. He didn't. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to inoculate you from the poison, to bring the cure for the poison, to give you one life, to get you out of the nightlife. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Even just standing here and looking at faces, it's incredible to me the pride that can be in a person. There were two men that died next to Jesus on the cross. Two men. One man, the first man, he looks over at Jesus and he says, "Hey, if you're really God, get yourself down. And while you're at it, I want my old life back. I like my poison. I like my hallucination." He had nothing to lose, and he would not humble himself. Nothing to lose. He was dying on the cross. And he said, "If you're really God, give me my old life back." You know why? He had poison going through his veins. He thought that the things that he used to live for was what life was really about. There was another man hanging on the cross. And all of his life, he had done nothing right. All of his life, he had sinned and maybe committed murder or rape. Who knows what his story was? But when he looked at Jesus, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And he said, "Jesus, can't really give anything to you. I'm here. I'm basically going to die in a couple hours. And, I can't really live my life for you or anything. But, we just remember me when you go to see your Father in heaven." Jesus looks at this man who humbled himself. And he said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Because that man humbled himself. It was incredible. And it's incredible that people go through this life. James said it earlier. Says in Romans chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." And so people will go their whole life being mad at God. And, "Oh, this God, he's going to send me to hell." No, you're missing it. When I go to work, I earn money that pays my bills and buys food for my family. When you sin, the wages of your sin, yeah, you're buying your own death. God's not wanting to send you to hell. He's not wanting to destroy your life. He sent Jesus so that if you would simply humble yourself, He would give you the free gift. Free. That's it. You exchange your life that's dead for His life, that's life everlasting. But some people are so proud that they want to hold this thing over God's head, and the whole time they're just earning it. They're swiping that card, and they're just like, "Just charge it. Just charge it. Just charge it. I'm living this poisoned life. Just charge it." And the whole time, they're moving closer and closer and closer to death. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, just humble yourself. Why don't you just turn to me and turn away from your sin? The whole time. That's what he's doing. It's incredible to me. The book of Hebrews talks about this hallucination, and it calls it the passing pleasure of sin. There's this man in the Old Testament, his name is Moses, and he left. He was a prince of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the planet. And he left all of the passing pleasures of Egypt for the sake of living a life that was in the desert and with a disobedient, hard neck, like stiff-necked people. And he did it because he understood that what God had for his life was way, way better. It was way better than just living this life of pleasure and then dying. Tonight I want to ask you this question. Will you humble yourself? If you're living the nightlife, you're already under conviction. The Lord just wants you to simply respond and live one life. He wants you to respond and say, you know what? Instead of coming to Jesus at night or still living one way at night and one way in the day, I'm just going to live one way. I'm going to choose today whom I'm going to serve. I'm going to live for God. That's going to be part of the altar call tonight. It's for you who know. You might not even be living in any kind of deep, dark sin, but you know that your life is different when other people are around that love God and when people are there that are just doing whatever. The second group of people, if you're here and my message has gotten through to your heart and you caught a glimpse of the lie, that you've been living a lie, you and I deserve to die for our sin. Every time you've hated, every time you've lusted, every time you've done anything against God, you deserve to die. And God said, I want to fix that. And he came in the flesh and he lived a perfect life. And he went to the electric chair for you. He went to the noose for you. He went to the guillotine. He went to the cross. He was beat and he was bruised so that you can respond tonight and not have to pay for your own sin. If you want to pay for your sin, that's your choice. But listen to my words. You will pay, and you won't pay once. You will pay for all of eternity for your sin. He paid that price. He paid it all. He laid it down. And if you will simply humble yourself and look at the cross, repent, he will change your life. He will give you a true life where there just used to be a hallucination. You can stand with me tonight. All week there's just been stuff that has just been attacking me and all these things. And I just know that God's going to set some people free tonight. I'm excited tonight because I know there's going to be people that are going to be birthed into God's kingdom. Father, we worship you. God, we know that your word says that no man comes to the Father unless you draw him. And tonight I'm asking that you would draw people, God, that you would break the hard heart. God, I'm asking right now for those who are living in the nightlife that you would set them free, God. God, there's such freedom that comes in the light. If you're here tonight, if you really want to get right with God, you don't need somebody to coerce you. You don't need somebody to manipulate you. And you don't need somebody to put words in your mouth. If you're here tonight and you're sorry for the way you've lived your life, and you feel broken over your nightlife, you feel foolish, you feel broken over allowing that sin, that poison to go through your life, this altar is going to be open. And it's a place where you can weep, and you can be on your knees and you can humble yourself before a God who will save you, who will change you. If you're here tonight and you've been living the nightlife, I want you to raise your hands real quick. Raise them up. Raise them up high. There's some more. You've been living the nightlife. Raise your hand up. God's all over you right now. He's ministering to you. He's breaking you. Young man, right here. You been living a nightlife? No, you have poison, don't you? You have a nightlife, I want you to come forward right now. Quickly, come forward. If you're here tonight and you've been poisoned and you know it and you're willing to humble yourself and not be a fool, I want you to come forward right now. Come forward. If God gave you a glimpse of your sin and you see that it's a lie that you've been living, I want you to come forward right now. God wants to set you free tonight. He wants to break your heart over your sin. God can take your life and He can make your life an incredible thing. But you have to come through a place of humbling yourself. I love you guys tonight. Just keep coming. Come on forward right here. We're going to worship. And here's what I want you to do. With your words, I want you to confess specifically your sins. I want you to tell Jesus every time that you can remember that you've broken His heart. Every time that you've lived the nightlife. Every time that you've lived a lie. Every time that you've seen that poison come through your life. I want you just to get on your knees or stand up. Whatever the Lord's doing in your life. And I want you to get real with God. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you. And ask Him to give you a new life and a new heart tonight. He will usher you into a new kingdom. A new kingdom, a new way of life that's full of the real deal. Not the hypocrisy of your nightlife and not the poison of your snake bite. All right, worship team, go ahead. Father, tonight, God, I pray for these young men and women tonight. God, I'm asking that You would break them. God, I'm praying tonight would be not just another night, another response to ease their conscience, but tonight, God, I'm asking it would be a night of true chains and deliverance from the old kingdom, God, into the new. God, I'm asking right now, Lord God, that there would be a reality of sin and how much You paid on the price for us not to have to live under it anymore. Spirit of God, move in this place right now.